Bentley in our correct.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so he's on the phone for the next question. Here would be that of the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Bentley. How are you this morning?
I'm doing just fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. So you appeared before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members, although you can't see us. I'll introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing today. You have the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. Luis Quinones, the Honorable David Mills, the Honorable Dr. C.T. White, who is our board chair. And sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'll be acting as your panel chair this morning, okay?
All righty. Good morning to all of you.
Okay.
Thank you for letting me have this time with you.
All right, so I'm going to go over some information, and then I'm going to have you give us some information that we need to actually go over. This is a parole hearing service for regular parole, absolute discharge of home arrest. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So you are currently serving a 10-year sentence for to commit molestation of a child. Is that right, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and you became parole eligible on June 6th of 2017. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So according to your institutional progress report, sir, if you are released, you plan on living with your mother, and she will financially help and support you. Ms. Linda Bentley, and she stays in Maricopa, Arizona?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So it's, you have had no discipline violations since you've been incarcerated. That's kind of very good there. So I managed to stay without any discipline violations, sir.
I just do as I'm told. I don't do anything to do anything wrong. They tell me to jump. I ask them how I do. The way I figure, I do it in here, I'll do it out there.
You only show that there's only one program that you've taken since you've been incarcerated. That was a 2012 for functional literacy, I believe it is. Have you had any more programs since you've been incarcerated, sir?
No, since we talked about 7.5 months ago.
Yes, sir.
I am in a impact group that's on Wednesday afternoons. I've been to that like 17, 18 times. And I've talked to Dr. Selby, which is the main therapist person here, and he said that he would try to get me into one of the therapy groups. That's when they talked. I went the day after, which I think was July the 18th. And I sat down and talked to him for over an hour, and he said he would get back with me, and I tried to get a hold of him again. I caught him on the yard walking to the main office, and he said, I have to get him on the list. But I need you to stop me on the yard because I'm busy. And that's where it's at this time. Because I did try to get into SOEPT.
So you had one parole here, which was back in July 17th of last year, for regular parole home arrest and absolute discharge. At that time, you were denied. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm looking at your criminal history, and it looks like these charges may have no complaint was filed, but it looks like back in 1999 that you had a sex offense of child fundament, and then sexual assault, but it looks like no complaint was filed in that situation. Is that right?
Well, I know, yes. I didn't exactly understand the question.
So it looks like you had an arrest.
Yes, I did. I spent 72 hours in Pinal County, and there wasn't enough evidence from what I understand. And they said it's pending, but they released me.
Okay. Okay. So it looks like the court dismissed it as a result of that. Then it looks like again in 2012, 2003, you had another assault touch to injure. What was that about, sir?
2003, I was not aware of that.
Okay, it's like...
No, nobody ever contacted me They knew where I lived that north, that Hebrew, didn't know anything about that at all.
All right, this was like assault, touch to injure. It was a domestic violence situation.
Yes, that was
2003.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was with my oldest son. Threw him down on the ground and he went to the neighbors and called the cops on.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
In that case, it looks like it was dismissed.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so then you had a 2012, which is the current offense that we're actually looking at now for the molestation of a child and sexual conduct with a child. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So why don't you give us a little bit of information? I think this is a situation that occurred with your stepdaughter over a period of 6 years.
It appeared like over a year and a half, from what I understand. I mean, the way I figured it was like a year and a half, yes, sir.
Okay, well, this information that I have says that it was over a six-year period. So why don't you tell this person what transpired during that period of time?
Okay, I'm missing the city. I accidentally coughed when you were in the middle of explaining that.
Okay.
Can you please repeat that for me?
Yes, sir. Would you tell this board what transpired over that period of time with your stepdaughter, the situation that you're currently incarcerated for?
Just following her. I really don't know how to explain it. I made a really bad mistake is what I did. Really bad judgment on my part to ever touch her, period. And, you know, I knew it back then, I know it today. And it's just, I did an awful thing. There's no doubt. And I know it went on for a few years. And I'm very sorry for hurting everybody, including her, boss to go out. And I take full responsibility for what I did. And just one thing led to another, you know.
So what was it? Because you haven't had an opportunity to take any sexual classes or counseling since you've been incarcerated. It appears that there's what is the trigger? I'm trying to understand the trigger. What's causing you to have this attraction to minor children? How do you get over that?
I did take therapy back in 99 and 2000 with Dr. Selby on the outside.
Okay.
I did over a year and a half of therapy with him. And I wasn't pulled over to go, but me and my wife at that time, you know, I said, I need to go and figure out why, you know. And I went. Every week for a year and a half or more. I don't exactly have all the dates, but so
what did you figure out what your trigger was back? You said it in 99 that you actually went?
Yes, sir. I went right after all this took place immediately after I got incarcerated. When I got out after the 72 hours, I went. I talked to him. I got involved in his groups, and I went for a year and a half with him in Phoenix.
Okay. So you attended that counseling session, so which I think is good, but, you know, that was in 99, and then 2012, you wind up with this other incident.
So now, 2012, sir, all they did was show up at the house, and it was all related back to 99, because I never did anything. I came home from work because my wife said they were there because of what happened in 99.
Okay.
So they took me 72 hours, from what I understand, what they told my father was, it's pending, they don't have enough evidence back in 99, so they released me, but it was pending.
Okay.
So they showed up in 2012 and said, you know, this molestation with your stepdaughter back in 99, we're here to arrest you. And I'm like, nothing to change. They loaded me up. They're working with the fence. I have never touched another soul.
So what brought about the, what was the trigger that triggered you with your stepdaughter in this incident?
Well, you know how the answer was, just me being stupid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was wrong. I proceeded to do it anyway. And I know it was wrong.
And
I tell myself every day how stupid I was to ever let that happen. And it, I kept to my word. And I think a lot of it had to do with the 72 hours I spent in county, with Pinal County, just scared daylights out of me. I didn't want no part of this. So. But I made bad choices back then. And that's, you know, something that I've overcome because I no longer have any type of desire since the 72 hours. It's like, no, I did wrong. I know I did wrong. I will never touch another living soul than I have.
And how old was your stepdaughter at that time, sir?
She was like 9, I believe.
Okay. And so at this time, sir, we do have several letters of support that are listed in your file, sir. And, you know, those letters of support also made reference to your mother being ill at the time, and that they wanted you to get out to be able to assist your mother. Is that right?
Yes, sir. And that would still be the same thing today. She, they took her car keys. She can't remember from one day to the next.
Uh-huh.
Somebody has to be there to give her medication 3 times a day because they, my aunts and brothers, filled her a weekly, you know, the weekly pill container. And when she first got out of the hospital and came home, they would fill it for the week. And my aunt would go by in 2 days, and the whole thing was gone. And she would tell my aunt that she was, no, I didn't take those. You only filled 2 days. And she goes, no, I filled that whole week. So she no longer drives, because it would go, my brothers have taken the car keys. They've unplugged the stove. She's just basically on a house arrest because she can't do anything because she can't remember.
Uh-huh.
And everybody's scared if she got out in the car, she's going to injure herself and somebody else. And they, like I said, they unplugged the stove and took her coffee pot so she wouldn't get hurt with a coffee pot. Just, she tells me every 2 days when I call her, she goes, I can't do anything. I don't have anything. I lay here on the couch and everybody waits on me. And they come by and they're not here for people for a week. And I'm like, well, you do, but you just don't remember. So, but I think it would be, well, I would be blessed to be able to go there and live with her and be able to take care of her and do all her meds and take her to the doctor's appointment so that, you know, my family doesn't have to do this because everybody else is working and they're busy and kind of a burden on everybody, but it is what it is.
So, do you still have contact with your, is it your ex-wife now, your stepdaughter's mom?
No, I sure don't.
Okay.
She divorced me about 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, and I already remarried, so I don't have any contact with her.
Okay. Have you worked with your CO3 there, sir, to try to get in? There's some good training programming that DOC has for sex offenders, sir, that it really helps them figure out what their triggers are and what they're going through. And that's, you know, one of my concerns that you haven't been involved in that type of programming since you've been incarcerated.
Well, Right, that's why I'm talking to Dr. Selby about me getting into it.
Okay, can, have you talked to your CO3 there, sir, to talk about it?
To be honest with you, I haven't. I've never, to be honest with you, I haven't heard that. I'll have to look into it and ask the CPO, what's it, CO3, what would you call it?
Yes, CO3. It's the,
What's CO3? Okay.
They're the ones who actually, help you and work with you on your programming.
Okay.
Okay.
I will check into that, because after we got done the last time with the phone conference like this, that's why I went straight over to Dr. Selby's office and got an appointment the next day to talk with him, to get into SOEPT or anything they got going, and he said, we do have these impact groups until you get in here. And at first, I had two of them, but then I went to the one on Wednesday night, but the one on Tuesday afternoon, and on the bathroom quarter from 1 to 5, so I couldn't go to that one, so, but I still go to the one in the afternoon on Wednesday.
Okay, so I'm gonna see if the board has any additional questions for you, sir. Ms. Rittenhouse?
Thank you. Mr. Bentley? Mr. Bentley, are you on lifetime probation?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
They gave me two lifetime probations.
Okay, all right. And I'm curious, at the beginning of this interview, Mr. Johnson asked you, or he mentioned over 6 years, I think, and you said, no, I think it was over 1 year. And then about 2 minutes later, you said this occurred, and these are your words, over a few years. Can you explain that?
Well, I didn't mean to say for 1 year. From what I understand with my lawyer that I have, he said it lasted about a year and a half with all the stuff that he dug up, and so.
Okay, and I'm also curious, that you can't remember or you're not able to explain. So the girl was 9 years old, and when one of these instances occurred, sir, what was going on? Was she watching television? Was she in her bed? Tell us what happened.
It first started when I was watching television with all the kids, and then she just started laying on top of me on the couch, and I pushed her off on the floor, and then she was just like all over me all the time. And I push her away, and even my wife would say, that's not right. You need to set up or leave. And I'm like, I do. She's just seems like everything I tried, she was just like my little shadow is what everybody called her. They go, wow, she follows you everywhere. I said, yes, she does.
Okay, and so when did the molestation occur then? If you were in a room with other people,
It actually started in the front room.
And
the other kids went to bed.
Okay, the other kids went to bed, and what did you do?
Just fondled her.
With or without clothing?
Pardon me?
With or without her clothing on?
She had her clothes on at first.
At first, and then?
Yeah. And then it escalated from there to, I'd be in my bedroom watching television. She'd come in there, and then next thing I know, I was touching her under her clothes and had her shirt off. And
who removed her shirt?
Pardon me?
Who removed her shirt?
Okay, I don't understand.
Who took her shirt off?
What's that?
Who took her shirt off?
I did. I'm not gonna lie.
Okay. And then what else happened?
Well, then it became from touching to oral sex.
Okay.
And that lasted quite some time, and next thing I know, the penetration happened.
Okay. All right, thank you, Mr. Bentley.
All right, sorry, it's kind of hard for me to just talk about it, I apologize, because I really hate myself for who I was, you know what I mean?
Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
All right, thank you, Mr. Bentley. Does the board have any additional questions for Mr. Bentley? Dr. Wright.
So, Mr. Bentley, what were you doing between 1999 and 1912, sir? I mean, were you working, or what were you doing, sir?
I was working.
What kind of work were you doing?
I worked for a roofing company in Phoenix for 29 and a half years. Our store was in 82, and we closed the doors in 2011.
Now, let me move back before this incident offense took place. Had you had any type of relationship with any other young female prior to this incident with your 9-year-old stepdaughter, sir?
No, sir.
Had you had any contact with, and I don't mean sexual now, but had you had any contact with any other young females prior to then, I mean more than any in your home or an assistant, young assistant, brother, your young kids, anybody else that would have been young during before 1999, sir?
No, sir.
So, I know you haven't taken the program yet, the class yet, so you just decided that, well, let me put it this way then, what attracted you to her, to your stepdaughter, sir?
I think it was just the fact that she, I think it was just the fact that she paid so much attention to me. And I think after a period of time, I just took it to the next limit.
During that period of time, was your wife paying attention to you, sir, her mother?
Sometimes, not always. To her, it was more about the family and the kids needed and stuff like that.
I mean, I don't want to get into your personal situation, but because you are before this board, and we're going to have to make an important decision in relation to you. When I ask that question, I mean, did you have regular, or let me put it this way, appropriate sexual relations with your wife, sir?
Yeah, I did. I mean, it wasn't like every day, it wasn't every week, but it was probably a couple times a month anyway.
And let me just ask one other question, sir. With your daughter, your stepdaughter, she was 9 years of age at the time. From your recollection, was she mature? Did she look like a 9-year-old? Or did she look like a 16-year-old? Or did she look like a 5-year-old? How did she look at that time to you?
She looked like she was probably about 14, 15. And I'd like to bring this up, and my wife's ex-husband, my wife always said later on, after we'd already got married, that when her ex-husband left her, she told me later that she caught Brenda trying to give her brother head numerous times after Mark left. And I said, what? And she goes, yes. And she goes, I didn't know this, but he had been gone a couple of years. I moved the couch, and there was still X-rated DVD under her couch. And I said, really? And she goes, I never moved anything. So, I don't know if anything ever happened. I have no idea, but I just know that she clinged to me like everybody said, even my parents, that she just thought she was shy. You get out in the machine, I go, every place I go. The only freedom I have is when I go to work and the family stays in Castle Ray.
Okay, sir.
Yes, sir.
Let me just ask this. I believe you said that you remarried. Now you said you got a divorce 2 years ago. Your wife, the other wife, divorced you 2 years ago. You remarried, sir. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. No, no, I didn't bring her, she did.
Oh, she was born in New York, right?
I've been here about 3 years. Or probably less than that even. They came and got me, I don't have my books on that, but she filed for divorce after I had been incarcerated probably 2.5 to 3 years, and then she's already remarried. She remarried up a month after our divorce was fine.
So, I'm going to be quiet after this, but between 1999 and 1912, or a little bit after, the two of you were still married, sir?
Yes, sir.
And at that point, what was your stepdaughter at that point between beginning in 1999 until you were arrested? What, did your stepdaughter live with you, or did she live somewhere else, or what was going on there, sir?
She lived with her mom in Casa Grande until late part of 2001. After I got arrested in 99, I moved in with my parents. I did not ever go back home full time. I was a weekend dad after I got picked up in 99.
Okay, sir.
And when so my wife and the kids moved out to our place up in Heber, Arizona, and that's in 2001, we started building a new home up there. And I still was a weekend father. I worked in Phoenix. I stayed with my parents 4 days out of the week. And then I'd go home Friday night, and I would come back Monday morning.
Between Friday night and Monday morning, was your stepdaughter resigned with you and your wife at that time, sir?
No, sir. No, after all this took place, my wife's aunt took Brenda, and she kept her with her because Brenda didn't want to leave Casa Grande until she finished high school. So she never lived up in Heber.
Thank you so much, Mr. Bentley, and thank you so much, Mr. Johnson.
Right, and you want to be able to go ahead.
Mr. Bentley, this is a little bit confusing on the time frame. When you got involved with all this, how long were you bringing at that time?
Okay, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, okay, hang on. All right, is that better?
Yeah, okay. What's
the question is, when you got in trouble for this, arrested for this, how old was Brenda at that time?
When I got incarcerated?
When you were arrested, when you were charged with this, when the incidents ended, however you want to phrase it, how old was Brenda when you no longer arrested her? How's that?
I don't know, I'm guessing she was like 16 and a half, 17, something like that.
Okay.
When I got incarcerated.
Okay.
Back in 99, is that what you're asking me?
Well, no, I'm asking you how old she was when he no longer had any sexual encounters with her.
She was probably 14.
All right.
I mean, I'm trying to think back almost 20 years ago.
Okay, well, I'm not close enough for me. I have no idea based on the information that we have here. But the other question I have is, people keep talking about other children. Were the other children your children, or were they stepchildren?
Are you talking about the other children in my family, or in my immediate family?
No, I'm talking about the children that were residing in the house that you were living in.
When I married Rebecca, back in 96, 6 months later, I adopted her three kids, which was Brenda, Mark, and David.
Okay, so where's her? The two siblings of Brenda or the other children you're talking about?
Yeah, the three oldest, she only had the three, she was a single mom of three kids. I adopted her for three kids.
All right.
And then, well, I don't know, back in 90, I'm trying to think what year, my only biological son with her is 23, so whatever year that was, that's when he was born. I think he was born in, just guessing, he was born, I think, 90.
Okay, at the time of this, the accident, did your biological child move with you?
Yes, he did.
Okay. All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right.
All right, board have any additional questions? Mr. Dillon, the board is going to go into discussion, so coming up on a conclusion of the hearing. But prior to the board going into discussion and coming up on a conclusion, is there anything else you'd like to say to the board that you haven't already said without repeating yourself, sir?
Well, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for this, and I'm sorry it's kind of hard for me to hear on this phone. I apologize. I just think that I could be a lot more of help out there with my mom and family, and I will do whatever whoever tells me what to do as far as counseling. I can do it out there. I can, you know, because I tried to get in here. I just think I would be better out there just to help my mom, because she isn't getting any better. She's really getting bad, and that's all I'd like to say, and thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Sir, if you would just stay on the line, the board's going to go into discussion. While we're in discussion, we'll make a determination whether to deny or grant you absolute discharge, home arrest, or regular parole. Okay, and you will be able to hear the discussion that the board's having. I ask you to remain on the line again. I will remain silent while the board's in discussion, okay?
Okay.
Okay, the board's now into discussion that we've had the opportunity to talk with Mr. Bentley. This is an incident that occurred between he and his stepdaughter over a period of time, and he's actually incarcerated. There are some letters of support in here from his family members, in which the letters of support from the family members really all talk about and relate back to his mom being ill. And according to Mr. Bentley, she has Alzheimer's now, and there's dementia that is like, you know, some of us have already dealt with some of those situations with our parents, and that is kind of a devastating thing that could happen to the family, and that he wanted to get out and try to help and be able to assist his mom, which I think that's a good thing on his behalf. However, I'm just, you know, not thinking that it's in the best interest of the community to release Mr. Bentley at this time. I would really like to see him take some programming inside of the institution that talks about his trigger points, what caused him to actually do that. And I think if he would work with his CO3 to work on some type of a program and to see what happens or what is current or what triggers that. I do understand his situation, and you know, I'm not sure, perhaps the victim in this situation had been previously sexually assaulted. I don't know. There's no information or documentation in here that says that, but according to Mr. Bentley, there's a possibility that has previously happened. But even if so, with that happening, with that knowledge, you know, I would think that you would, this child has entrusted you, that you would not participate in those type of behaviors with the child. So at this point, I don't see Mr. Bentley suitable for home arrest, absolute discharge, or regular parole at this time. Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I think I'm going to basically repeat what you said, that Mr. Bentley has a firm sentence ended in 2022, and again, I think he needs sexual offender treatment program before he can be safely returned to the community and supervised released. In the meantime, I think he needs to research what resources are available to him inside the Department of Corrections. Thank you.
Okay, again, no other comments for the board. I'm going to make a motion at this time to deny Mr. Lindsay the absolute discharge on the regular parole.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Okay, Mr. Bentley?
Yes, sir.
So you've heard the discussion of the board. Board has voted to deny your absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest. I'm going to set this for a one-year set-off.
Okay.
And the reason for denial is I'm going to mark it as a serious and violent offense, as it was a minor trauma to the victim, as a minor age of the victim. I'm also going to mark lack of program. I'm not going to mark a court release plan. You do have a good demeanor during the hearing, and you do have a family support system that's actually supporting it and there to support you if you were released. So,
yes.
So that is going to, do you have any questions?
No, sir. I just want to thank you guys for your time and thank you.
All right, Mr. Bentley, that is going to conclude your hearing at this time. Thank you for taking the time and opportunity to participate in your hearing today. Thank you.
But you said you're going to contact me in a year?
You will be eligible for parole within in about a year. It could be a little less, it could be a little more. It's up to the Department of Corrections. They will reschedule you to appear before this board, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir, we wish you and your family the best of luck and take care of your mom, too.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Please go to CO3.